Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Two U.S. presidential candidates will work together and try to stop Donald Trump from becoming the Republican Party's presidential nominee. On Sunday, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Ohio Governor John Kasich announced a joint plan to defeat Trump in three states. The businessman has been leading in the race for the Republican presidential nomination since February 9th, when he won the New Hampshire primary. Former Senator and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has won the most delegates in the race to become the Democratic Party's candidate for president. Barack Obama has served 2 4-year terms as president. That is the most permitted under the U.S. Constitution. Obama will leave office in January. Some political observers thought Trump would not be successful in his campaign for the Republican nomination, but he has won primaries and caucuses in many states. He now controls the largest number of delegates to the party's nominating convention. That meeting will take place in July.
However, many top Republican officials do not like Trump. His positions on immigration and foreign policy are different from those of many Republicans. Some officials worry that Trump will not support the party's positions. But with less than 3 months before the convention, Trump is the only candidate with a chance to win the majority of delegates needed to become the Republican nominee. Both Cruz and Kasich have each said many times that Trump will hurt the Republican Party if he is the nominee. They believe if he is nominated, the Democratic Party's nominee, who many experts believe will be Clinton, will easily win the election in November. On Sunday, Cruz and Kasich announced their plan to stop Trump from winning enough delegates to win the nomination. Representatives from each campaign announced that Kasich will let Cruz try to win the presidential primary in the Midwestern state of Indiana. That primary will take place on May 3rd. Indiana has 57 delegates. The winner of the primary will get 30 of them. The rest will be given to the winner in each of the state's 9 congressional districts.
Recent public opinion surveys showed Trump has the support of 39% of likely Republican voters in Indiana. Cruz has 33% and Kasich has 19%. If some of Kasich's supporters vote for Cruz, he could easily beat Trump and win most of the state's delegates. The Cruz campaign said the agreement with Kasich is designed to ensure that the Republican nominee is someone who can unite the party. Having Donald Trump at the top of the ticket in November would be a sure disaster for Republicans. Not only would Trump get blown out by Clinton or Sanders, but having him as our nominee would set the party back a generation, Cruz campaign manager Jeff Rowe said.
During the campaign, Trump has repeatedly criticized the Republican Party as being unfair to him. He said the effort by Cruz and Kasich to work together to deny him the nomination is sad. Because of me, everyone now sees that the Republican primary system is totally rigged. When two candidates who have no path to victory get together to stop a candidate who is expanding the party by millions of voters, all of whom will drop out if I am not in the race, it is yet another example of everything that is wrong in Washington and in our political system, Trump said. In exchange for not campaigning in Indiana, Kasich was promised that Cruz would not campaign in the western states of Oregon and New Mexico. 28 delegates will be chosen in Oregon on May 17th. 24 delegates will be chosen in New Mexico on June 7th.
Next, Jim Dresbach tells us about recent statements made by United States President Barack Obama regarding the fight against the Islamic State in Syria.
President Barack Obama said on Monday he would send 250 soldiers to Syria to help local forces fight against the Islamic State. The deployment will increase American forces in Syria to around 300. Most of the new 250 U.S. forces will be U.S. Army Green Berets. About 50 American forces are already in Syria since 2015. Obama told an audience at a trade fair in Hanover, Germany, the forces will not be leading the fight on the ground. The president said the forces will provide training and will assist local troops to keep up this momentum in the fight against IS. Obama also urged Europe and NATO allies to do more in the fight against Islamic State. This remains a difficult fight, and none of us can solve this problem by ourselves, he said. Stephen Zunis is a regional expert from the University of San Francisco. He told VOA the deployment could be viewed as mission creep in both Syria and Iraq.
At the same time, given that Obama has had a pretty cautious approach in terms of U.S. Military involvement in Syria, it could be an indicator that the initial troop deployment has been successful and that it is an indication, in his mind at least, that additional U.S. forces could actually advance the cause of defeating ISIS and strengthening local forces that are fighting them.
I'm Jim Dresbach.
One of Africa's best-known musicians died on Sunday. Dan Friedel has more.
Music lovers are remembering one of Africa's greatest musicians. The Congolese music star Papa Wemba died on Sunday after collapsing at a music festival in Ivory Coast. He was 66. The cause of death was not immediately known. Papa Wemba was a major force in African music for over 40 years. He is known around the world as the king of Congolese rumba. Wemba was born in 1949 in what was then known as the Belgian Congo. His given name was Jules Shungu Wembadio Pene Kikumba. He began his career singing in religious choirs. He was known for being able to sing high notes. He rose to fame in the late 1960s and early 1970s. At the time, he performed with the band Zyko Langa Langa in the city of Kinshasa. the group produced a series of hits involving a guitar-based mix of Latin and African music. Papa Wemba had fans across Africa and Europe. He worked with other music stars, including former Genesis lead singer Peter Gabriel. Gabriel featured the King of Congolese Rumba on his Secret World Tour in the 1990s. The Congolese culture minister called Wemba's death a great loss for the country and all of Africa. I'm Dan Friedel.
Next, Mario Ritter reports on the use of child labor in Myanmar.
After 50 years of economic isolation, observers fear that Myanmar's children might be forced to work before they can complete schooling in a booming economy. The Southeast Asian country, also known as Burma, has one of the worst records for child labor of any country. Many children work every day to earn money for their families. Tun Min is 16 years old. He uses his boat to deliver fish to a market near Yangon. He earns about $8 a day. He hopes his life will one day be better.
My wish is to become a trader in the fish market. I need some money to become a fish trader. Then I can earn more money.
Tun Min left school when he was 12 because his mother was sick and his family needed money. Experts say about 20% of children in Myanmar between the ages of 10 and 17 work instead of going to school. They work in factories, tourism, and many other businesses. They work in cities and in rural areas. Foreign investors are helping Myanmar's economic growth. And with a growing economy, there is an increase in the need for workers. Some rights activists say they are worried that children will be forced to work to help keep the economy strong. Mei Wenmin works for the National League for Democracy, the country's leading political party.
If we cannot solve this problem, there will not be any development in our country because the children will be the people serving the country in the future. They need to be educated to do that.
Children younger than age 13 are not permitted to work in shops or factories in Myanmar. If they do work, they may only do so for up to 4 hours a day. But experts say businesses do not obey the law, and the government does not punish them for ignoring it. Human rights groups and child protection activists want the country to put in place stronger laws and work harder to keep children in school. Michael Slingsby works for the UN Development Program.
I think it should be a priority area, but needs to be combined with positive policies. If you try to ban child labor, there's a danger that you drive it underground, and people still continue to work very young, but do it in a less open way.
At the San Pia fish market in Yangon, Reuters news agency observed girls and boys as young as 9 cleaning fish and loading trucks during the 12-hour-long overnight shifts recently. Hla Min has a 15-year-old son working at the market. He said, "I don't want my son to do this kind of hard labor." From the bamboo hut close to the river that he called home, he added, "Whatever they say they would do or give us, it will never reach here." I'm Mario Ritter.
Tuesday marks the 30th anniversary of the Chernobyl disaster, the world's worst nuclear accident. The effects of the disaster are still felt today. On April 26, 1986, a reactor exploded at a nuclear power center in the town of Chernobyl in what was then the Soviet Republic of Ukraine. The reactor caught fire, and it released huge amounts of radiation. Many emergency workers died. Soviet officials ordered 116,000 people living around the power plant to leave the area. Another 220,000 were forced to leave later as the death zone, the nuclear contamination area, expanded. Recently, Associated Press reporters visited the edge of the contamination zone in Belarus. They found that milk from a dairy farm there contains radioactive isotopes. The isotopes give off radiation and can harm people and other living things. Tests found that the milk contains radioactive isotope levels at least 10 times higher than the country's food safety limits. The farm was about 45 kilometers north of the former Chernobyl nuclear plant. The dairy farmer said his cows produce milk for a local factory called Milkavita. It produces Parmesan cheese that is sold mostly in Russia. Milkavita officials rejected the AP laboratory results as impossible. They said their own tests show that radioactive isotopes in their milk supply are well below safety limits. Canadian scientist Timothy Mousseau is a leading expert on the Chernobyl disaster. He told Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, that forest fires could send clouds of toxic radioactive material up into the skies over Europe. His and other research into the Chernobyl accident suggests that the toxic cloud from a major fire could carry different kinds of radioactive materials across Europe. At the time of the accident 30 years ago, he said, a huge cloud from the fire at Chernobyl rose into the atmosphere. This allowed radioactive material, in his words, to be transported for thousands of miles. While it has been 30 years since the Chernobyl nuclear accident, it has only been 5 years since Japan's deadly Fukushima 1 plant disaster. The Fukushima disaster will take a century to clean up and cost hundreds of billions of dollars. Nuclear power was not used in Japan for nearly 2 years, but 2 reactors were restarted there last year. The debate over nuclear power continues in the island nation. Japan depends on imports for about 90% of its main energy needs. Adding to people's concerns over nuclear power is the fact that experts still do not agree on how many people lost or will lose their lives because of the Chernobyl accident. Fewer than 100 emergency workers died from the radiation. The World Health Organization warned years ago that Chernobyl would cause 4,000 additional deaths. But the environmental group Greenpeace ordered a study that shows, in the end, 93,000 people could die. The town of Chernobyl still is home to about 3,000 people. They continue to work on decommissioning or closing down the plant. They are only permitted to stay in the area for 14 days to reduce their risk of radiation exposure. Scientists say the nuclear exclusion zone will not be safe enough for humans to live there for another 20,000 years. I'm Anne Ball.
This is what's trending today. The relatives of Tamir Rice will receive a $6 million settlement from Cleveland, Ohio. Rice was 12 years old when he was killed by police officers in November 2014. Rice was playing with a toy gun in a park. The police thought it was real. Rice, an African American, became one of the symbols of the Black Lives Matter social justice campaign. The movement highlighted a number of young Black men and women who were killed by police officers in recent years. Michael Brown was killed by officers near St. Louis, Missouri, in the summer of 2014. Freddie Gray died while in custody of the Baltimore, Maryland police in the spring of 2015. A grand jury decided not to charge the police officers who killed Rice with a crime. The decision generated more protests in Cleveland. Rice's family filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the city and the police officers shortly after Rice was killed. A judge announced the decision to award $6 million to Rice's family on Monday. Tamir Rice was one of Twitter's top hashtags on Monday. Many people reacted to one part of the settlement. It says, "The city does not have to accept responsibility for doing something wrong." One person wrote, "The settlement with Tamir Rice is infuriating." Another wrote, "I'm glad Tamir Rice's family is getting $6 million from the city of Cleveland. But it'd be a lot cheaper to just train police not to shoot us." While many people have sympathy for Rice and his family, others think it is time for the people behind the Black Lives Matter movement to take action. One of those critics is President Barack Obama. Obama said, "When elected officials or people who are in a position to start bringing about change are ready to sit down with you, then you can't just keep on yelling at them." And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. The World Health Organization says drowning is among the top five causes of death for children under the age of 15. The United Nations agency also found that boys and girls living near open water sources, such as ponds and irrigation ditches, are especially at risk. Other studies have shown that, on average, drownings kill at least one child every 15 minutes somewhere in Asia. Children in Asia are especially at risk in extreme heat during the summer and during the monsoon or rainy season. Monsoon rains have already begun in Western Asia. Heavy rains in Pakistan recently were blamed for killing around 100 people, including women and children. The Asia-based group Alliance for Safe Children says drowning rates in developing countries are 10 to 20 times higher than those in developed countries. The Alliance's survey found that Bangladesh has the highest rates of child drownings, almost 17,000 a year. Vietnam followed Bangladesh with more than 11,500 child drownings a year. In Thailand, about 2,600 children drown each year. Thailand's Disease Control Department recently reported that more than 10,000 children drowned from 2006 to 2015. That number represents a rate of 10 drownings a day. In China, information for most provinces is not available. But in Jiangxi province alone, the Alliance discovered evidence of more than 4,600 child drownings a year. That is also a rate of 10 deaths every day. Bill Kirby of Australia won a gold medal as a swimmer in the 2000 Olympics. He now leads swimming classes and training programs in Asia, mainly in Indonesia and Malaysia. Kirby told VOA that governments and swimming organizations can work together to campaign for improved water safety.
One of the first steps is actually to create a national body that looks after water safety, whether it be like a Royal Life Safety Society or a Swim Australia or whatever it is, that can actually get a lot of stakeholders together, get some government funding and promote water safety.
Kirby adds that swimming associations in Asia need to be better organized.
I think one of the things with the Asian countries, they're still yet to be as organized as probably what the swimming associations or swimming bodies are like in the Western world, which have probably had more time to be organized and have had government funding and they see the importance of it.
He adds that this is especially important in areas that experience what he calls massive flooding. He uses the word downpour to mean heavy rainfall.
Massive floodings, whether you're in Pakistan at the moment or I know in Jakarta, every year or every 2 years they have such big floodings where all the waste goes into the waterways and then they have a massive downpour and it floods, creating more opportunity for kids to drown.
Officials in Thailand have called on parents to teach children how to swim. They are also asking parents to keep a close watch on their children, especially during what they call the risky period, between the middle of the day and sunset. The World Health Organization and others are urging countries to push for water safety and survival skills. The WHO says measures should include making barriers to control access to water, providing safe childcare for very young children away from water sources, teaching water safety and rescue skills. The WHO adds that governments need to guarantee safe boating and rules for passenger boat services. It warns that governments also need to improve flood risk management. I'm Anna Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.